Hello, this is Kathleen, and today, Thursday, February 19th, I'll be reading to you from the Daily News of Newburyport. Bronze Plaques Stolen from Alliance Park by Caitlin D. Amesbury. Two plaques on stones in Alliance Park, dating back to 1918 and 1993, were stolen. The president of the Amesbury Improvement Association said Wednesday. Ann Ferguson, president of the Amesbury Improvement Association, which owns and maintains Alliance Park, said she got a call from the Amesbury Police Department around 10:30 a.m. Wednesday. The police asked Ferguson if the plaques had been removed by the AIA. So I got a phone call from the police this morning. Evidently, someone was at Alliance Park or walking by it, and they noticed that the two plaques were missing, she said. It is a big stone, and the plaques are gone on two of them. So the police called me to see whether or not I was having them repaired or something. But I said absolutely not. The plaques, which Ferguson said she believes to be bronze, are large and were installed on two stones within the park. That's not a light plaque. They're heavy, she said. Alliance Park is on the banks of the Merrimack River, where it meets the Powwow River. The park is situated on the site where the Alliance, one of the first frigates in the Continental Navy, was built in 1778. The ship was named for the alliance between France and the American colonies. The oldest plaque dates back to 1918, and the more recent plaque dates back to 1993. The plaque from 1918 honored both the ship, the alliance, and the people who donated the land to the AIA. The plaque from 1993 was installed to honor the ship and boat builders of the Powwow and Merrimack River during the 325th anniversary of the incorporation of the town, Ferguson said. She believes the 1993 plaque cost $2,000 to $3,000. Unfortunately, Ferguson said, while the AIA has liability insurance for Alliance Park, it doesn't have specific insurance for the monuments. Now, in an effort to find whoever took the plaque, Ferguson said she has reached out to AIA members and people who reside in the area of the Alliance Park to see if anyone has home security footage. Ferguson is also trying to determine the date of the theft, as the last time she saw the stones was January 19th, and she became aware that they were missing on Wednesday. Ferguson also said she has reached out to multiple local junkyards to see if anyone had seen the plaques, but had not yet had any luck. I called about five different junkyards, she said. This theft comes months after a similar instance in Newburyport this summer, when bronze plaques were removed from multiple graves in Oak Hill Cemetery, according to reporting from the Daily News reporter Matt Petrie. Give me a break. Kids enjoy school vacation week at Boys and Girls Club by Caitlin D. Salisbury. Children are making the most of their school vacation this week at the Boys and Girls Club of Lower Merrimack Valley, where they can participate in numerous programs. The club on Maple Street serves as a hangout for students in first grade through high school. Executive Director Jim Keenan said about 100 children a day are visiting the club this month. With local districts such as Amesbury Public Schools and the Triton Regional School District on vacation this week, the nonprofit has a jam-packed schedule. Kids can stop by and participate in everything from sewing to remote control car races. There is even a snowman building contest. We're open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it's a fun-filled week, Keenan said. Youths can visit the club for a week of fun, and parents can be rest assured that their children are in good hands. It's safe, it's a positive environment, he said. We have phenomenal staff that are here, so they get some great direction and they can participate in awesome programs. Although the nonprofit is in Salisbury, Keenan said children from across the region stop by and form connections with each other. They get to meet kids from other towns, he said. So today we have kids here from Salisbury, Newburyport, Amesbury, Merrimack, Newbury, Rowley. Could have some kids from New Hampshire. So they get to meet friends from different towns. Youths can participate in programs for $100 for the week or $20 per day. However, Keenan said the organization ensures anyone interested can participate regardless of their financial situation. It's affordable to all. If you can't afford it, we do have scholarships, he said. We don't turn anyone away because of money whatsoever, at all. On Wednesday, children buzzed about the building, eagerly shifting from activity to activity, with the sewing room being a popular destination. Club Program Director Katie Beal said kids eagerly await being old enough to learn how to sew at the club. They have to be 9 or older, and we have girls and boys that come in all the time, she said. They count down the days until they turn 9. Once kids master their sewing skills, they become involved with their creations, Beal said. They make everything from scrunchies to pajamas to dresses and pillows. You name it, they can make it, she said. While the week is more than half over, the Boys and Girls Club still has more fun to come. Today, kids can participate in movie day, snow football, tag, and more. And on Friday, events such as make your own pizza and a floor hockey tournament are on the schedule. To learn more, those interested can visit the Boys and Girls Club of Lower Merrimack Valley social media page at https://www.facebook.com/BGCLMV. Importance of Black History by Matt Petrie, Newburyport. In the midst of Black History Month, local leaders took a moment to reflect on what it means and how the community has honored Black history. Black History Month is an opportunity not only to reflect on the extraordinary contributions, resilience, and leadership of Black Americans throughout our nation's history, but also to recommit ourselves to the work of building a more just and inclusive community, Mayor Sean Reardon said. A group that promotes and preserves the message of Black History Month year-round is the award-winning Newburyport Black History Initiative, or NBHI. The organization describes its mission as affirming Black history and belonging in Newburyport by illuminating histories that have been largely overlooked or forgotten, and ensuring that these stories are publicly accessible to a broad audience. The group brings together the city's planning department, historians, genealogists, writers, and educators with a core team consisting of Cabrera Baumgartner, Dean's Associate Professor of History and Africana Studies at Northeastern University, Giordi Viney, Senior Project Manager for Newburyport's Planning Office, and Sid Roschka, a writer and community organizer. Baumgartner, who is Black, offered her input on the importance of Black History Month. Black History Month offers an opportunity to recognize and reflect upon diverse Black experiences in the United States and to highlight themes such as resistance and resilience, she said. As has been stated before, Black history is American history. As one of the co-founders, she spoke about NBHI's work. I am proud of the initiative's success in visualizing and celebrating the history and the legacy of Black Newburyporters, Baumgartner said. In recent years, the group installed high-quality interpretive signs in the everyday public landscape of the city's downtown for all to see. We keep getting great feedback from members of the public, said Viney, the city's staff contact for the NBHI. It's talked about almost everywhere I go in terms of appreciation for the panels. The 11 panels that were developed over the past few years and installed in downtown Newburyport. He said they have tried to build on those installations by having various events and annual lectures just to keep a thread of focus and a spotlight on these stories. Black History Month is great because it does draw some attention, Vining said. And at the same time, we're generally try to promote some sort of focus on Black history year-round. Regarding the lectures, he said, they have been held at various times and locations. All in the larger context of history is not just in the past, Vining said. History is how we think in the present, think about the past and how it impacts today and society today. Reardon praised the role that NBHI plays in ensuring that the stories of Black residents, past and present, are researched, preserved, and shared. By telling a fuller and more honest history of our city, we strengthen our understanding of who we are and who we aspire to be, Reardon said. When we lift up these voices and experiences, we don't just honor the past, we shape a better future for the next generation. Asked how people locally can honor Black History Month, Vining said they should educate themselves on the federal government's attempts at erasing and sanitizing Black history. Certainly in the national parks and the museums like the Smithsonian, there is a very strong backlash going on right now, specifically to Black history, Vining said. And it is much more important that local people and local municipalities like Newburyport be a counterweight to that. Baumgartner said folks should look into as many local events around Essex County as they can. Many of these events, which range from lectures and tours to other activities, are free and open to the public, she said. For example, I am giving a talk on the history of slavery and emancipation at St. Peter's San Pedro Church in Salem on February 28th from 5 to 7 p.m. She also recommended taking a self-guided tour to see the NBHI signs in downtown Newburyport. Even amid all the chaos in the world, taking a moment to listen to the speeches of civil rights leaders such as Martin Luther King Jr. and women's rights activists such as Angela Davis can be a real balm, Baumgartner said. Their words resonate deeply in our current moment. Full details on the NBHI can be found at https://www.cityofnewburyport.com/planning-development/Newbury Black History Initiative. As I see it, Nomadic Wanderers We Enjoy in Winter by Joe DeMore, The Outward View. The young and powerful ones are bold migrants from distant northern regions in search of food. They seek refuge in tundra regions and boreal forests near the Arctic Circle. During the winter, they travel southerly toward the expanses of more moderate climates as they seek sanctuary in areas that mimic their home. Open areas are their kingdom. These are our beaches, meadows, and vast salt marshes dotting our shorelines. During winter months, we are occasionally blessed to see them suddenly appear. They seem like apparitions, often perched on ice-crusted dunes and snow-laden beaches from Plum Island all the way up to Rye. Like commanders surveying a battlefield, they explore opportunities to feast on various prey in the cornucopia of our coastline. They are an eruptive species, joining other types of birds like finches that migrate in large numbers outside their normal habitats and breeding grounds driven by scarce resources. However, some travel due to large breeding patterns, which increase competition for limited food sources. To survive, they take wing to travel long distances. As nomadic wanderers, they settle in these parts chiefly in the winter. Here they find their new or temporary hunting grounds for waterfowl, birds, and small mammals. Instinct to return to their northern home manifests in early spring. When the snowy owl no longer appears on a sand dune, they take flight in our imagination. Joe DeMore of Groveland writes the Outward View for North of Boston Media Group. He leads contemplative hikes in the White Mountains and the Cape Cod National Seashore and can be reached at damorecos@gmail.com. As I See It, Don't Let the Epstein Files Just Fade Away, by Megan Giles Cooney. It is a challenging not to write more about horrible Jeffrey Epstein. For a while, almost daily, my daughter and other young women in our lives shared their feelings about this awful story. Still too many people looked the other way. Now, to my immense relief, there is finally more visceral American outrage about details in the latest, some 3 million pages, batch of the Epstein files released by the Department of Justice. Widespread outrage, slow to bubble up, has arrived with full names, faces, and documented acts of depravity by Epstein and with references to powerful men associated one way or another with him. Finally, even some prominent conservatives are joining the deeply horrified and angry people concerned about the hall pass Epstein received in life, and for 7 years after death, for abusing vulnerable underage girls and young women. The outrage is not nearly universal, though. Before a congressional hearing on January 11th, Attorney General Pam Bondi sneered at and deflected questions about her handling of the Epstein files. She branded her interrogators failed politicians suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. Bondi insists she's complying with the new law requiring the Justice Department to scrutinize the files for public release and possible criminal prosecution. She also refused to respond to a congressman's request to turn around and apologize to the several victims and their families seated in the audience. Earlier this month, President Trump reiterated it is time for the country to move on from fixation with the Epstein files. Trump's name is frequently mentioned in the files as an acquaintance of Epstein in New York City and Palm Beach social circles before Epstein was convicted as a sex offender in 2008. Europeans have been much swifter than Americans in labeling, rejecting, and distancing themselves from associates of Epstein, identified in the documents. They include business leaders and foreign officials, including a British prince and an ambassador. It is about time. I hope the stain of Epstein's orbit sticks to those who enabled him, people who shielded the monster from accountability, in effect saving him while they saved themselves. Epstein's sex trafficking and abuse story demands a long shelf life. This can possibly happen with the release of the final volumes of uncensored emails. Please don't tire of or shy away from knowing the complete story due to the disgusting details. Many of Epstein's victims are tougher than the perpetrators. They are demanding accountability. Keep them in mind when focusing on the documents disclosing Epstein's evil life. Make the perpetrators squirm and answer for their association with the ultimate sexual predator and conman. Megan Giles Cooney is a columnist for the Traverse City Record Eagle, a sister publication of the Eagle Tribune. Reach her at megiles.cooney@gmail.com. Week-long work set for Bassier Bridge by Jonah Frangiosa, staff writer. Haverhill. Commuters can expect to hit traffic downtown this week due to preliminary work on the city's central crossing. The Massachusetts Department of Transportation will continue conducting exploratory borings on the PFC Ralph T. Brasillaire Bridge as part of the design for its replacement. The work is scheduled from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. Exploratory borings are temporary excavations or drill holes used to collect data on subsurface materials, helping engineers assess the condition of the structure. During the operation, only one direction of traffic will be closed at a time. A single lane in each direction over the bridge will remain open, and both sidewalks will stay accessible. No detours are expected. All turning movements at the intersection of the Middlesex Street and Route 125 and the intersection of Water Street, Merrimack Street, and Route 25 will operate as normal. A police detail will be on site to assist with traffic flow. MassDOT has said the bridge replacement project is expected to cost just over $251 million and take about 6 years to complete. The Route 125 crossing, which carries traffic over the Merrimack River, was built in 1925 and requires replacement, with an estimated 25,000 vehicles passing over the structure every day. MassDOT is scheduled to host an in-person public information meeting March 5th at 6 p.m. at the Pinnacle at Harbor Place, 2 Merrimack Street, to introduce the construction phase. Snow Moon Celebration slated for Sunday. Newbury. Historic New England hosts its Snow Moon Winter Celebration on Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. at Spencer Pierce Little Farm, 5 Littles Lane. Under the stillness of February's full snow moon, Spencer Pierce Little Farm opens its gates for a winter celebration that honors the beauty of the land, the history of rural New England, and the simple traditions that carried farmers and Native Americans through the coldest season. Walk the winter fields, enjoy traditional Irish folk music from Killishill, sip hot cider and make s'mores, listen to interactive indigenous stories, learn to drum, and take part in a traditional Nipmuc dance led by Larry Spotted Crow Man of the Oketow Cultural Center. The event will culminate with guests watching the snow moon rise over the frozen fields at 5:09 p.m. Members, $5. Non-members, $10. Members, families, $20. Non-member families, $25. Call 978-462-2364 for more information. This program is funded in part by a grant from the Newberry Cultural Council, a local agency supported by the Mass Cultural Council. Salisbury Democrats to hold caucus. Salisbury. The Salisbury Democratic Town Committee will host a caucus February 28th at the Hilton Senior Center, 43 Lafayette Road, to elect delegates to attend as voting members of the Democratic State Convention. The snow date is March 7th. Caucus registration takes place between 9:30 and 10 a.m. The caucus begins at 10 a.m. All are welcome to observe the proceedings. All registered Democrats living in Salisbury are eligible to run as a delegate. Salisbury will elect 4 delegates and 4 alternates at the caucus. Elected delegates will be able to attend the convention in Worcester on May 29th to the 30th. Convention participants will hear from Democratic state leaders and can vote on which U.S. Senate candidate they support. The 3 declared Democratic candidates are incumbent Senator Edward Markey and challengers Seth Moulton and Alex Rickling. Each candidate will need to earn the support of 15% of convention delegates. People ages 16 to 35, those with disabilities, people of color, veterans, and members of the LGBTQ plus community not elected as a delegate or an alternate during the caucus can become an add-on delegate, either at the caucus or after. For more information about the caucus, contact Derek DiPetrillo, chair of the Democratic Town Committee at DEREKD0518 at gmail.com, or Mark Whitmore, Salisbury Caucus Coordinator at WHITMORE.MARK1@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have a safe and well day.